Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Oxford Charger Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Blake Thompson, and I'm so glad you can join us to listen in on conversations with coaches, athletes, teachers, and fans, people who love being a Charger here in Oxford, Mississippi. Each episode, we hope that you'll enjoy the insights into the Charger athletic program and learn a little bit about the person as well. I'd ask that you please subscribe to the Oxford Charger Podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and be sure to also find us on social media at Charger Podcast. We've had a little bit of a break since our last episode. Fall's been kind of crazy, work, family, all this, but we're jumping back into the podcast now with both feet and ready to bring you some new content. First on the agenda is Coach Hunter Crane. Coach Crane has been leading the Lady Chargers soccer team for 7 years now and is in his second season as the boys' coach. Coach Crane returns a strong roster on the boys' side and has to do some reshuffling of his position on the girls' side as their roster's had a bit of a shakeup. But district play for both guys and girls will be challenging, and Coach goes over a little bit of what they'll face in the games versus Tupelo, Starville, and Grenada. He's added a coach and Anna Dennis to the girls' side, and after an overview of expectations for the season, we wrap up as Coach talks a bit about the movies that he and his wife enjoy. As always, let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests here on the pod, and if you're feeling a little squirrely, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. All right, here we go with Coach Crane. Well, Coach, thanks for taking some time here on a cold Wednesday afternoon. Is it starting to finally feel like soccer weather?
Yeah, I think Saturday was our opening weekend, our little tournament that we always host, and it was probably the first like true cold day that we've had. We're like, right. You know, why not? It's soccer season; it might as well be cold. So,
well, that's one of the things I was going to ask you. When does it officially start to feel like soccer season for you? I know that you basically train throughout the summer. You've got after school starting once, you know, school starts in August, but when for you does it feel like the season is here?
Yeah, you know, game one is usually like the season's here because I have the kids basically year round, you know, through fourth block and stuff. And so, you know, we get June, we get a little bit of, you know, summer play in, which is nice. And then, but when we hit August, that stretch from August to middle of October is tough on everybody because we're just basically just practicing and beating up on each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the time we get middle of October, we're ready to see somebody else. And when we get to game one, it's just everybody's big sigh of relief and, all right, here we go. We're all excited. And so that's really kind of game one for me is when soccer officially kind of gets going.
Well, this is your second full season as both head coach of boys and girls. Last time we talked, you were just getting started with both teams. We started with the girls first, so I'm going to touch on the guys and their team at the front end of this. But you had the summertime, like you said, then you've had fourth block all through the fall leading up to this. What did you learn about this new roster of guys here in the summer and in the early parts of the fall semester?
Yeah, absolutely. Really talented. You know, we knew that we were going to bring back a lot of offense. You know, last year we graduated a lot of defense. We graduated almost the entire back line and Coger Scott. And so we knew that this group offensively was going to be really good, you know, coming back. But then we brought in, you know, several really good freshmen as well and was able to, you know, we've maxed the roster out with 30 guys and stuff. And it's a really talented group. You know, I'm really excited about it from top to bottom. You know, our JV team went out and played against a mixed varsity JV team this past weekend and really played well. And they give us a good look in practice against our varsity squad. And so, you know, overall the roster is exciting because it's a bunch of soccer players. You know, there's no projects. From a soccer standpoint, we've just got a bunch of guys that this is what they do. Soccer is what they love, and soccer is what they do. So,
how many of your new starters are new starters based upon, and do you have any of the younger guys? You say you got some freshmen maybe coming in.
So Jackson Newman is a sophomore. So he's the starter and goalkeeper for us this year. You know, we replaced Coker. He started three or four games for us last year as a freshman when Coker got hurt. Mm-hmm. So he's got some starting experience under his belt, but he's been a goalkeeper by trade his entire life, and he's really came in and kind of grasped that role. And so we're excited about him. And then on the back line, we're only returning Andrew actually as a true starter. Colby Joyce started seven or eight games last year due to COVID and things like that. You know, he played in some different roles, some center back, some outside back, and really bounced between all of the slots. But he kind of was the one that we pegged to be a center back this year. And so he grasped that role early in the summer and just kind of took off with it. I think that experience that he gained last year was really good. And then, you know, we had a center mid transfer last year. And so, you know, Elijah Belk is new. Mm-hmm. Aiden is his older brother, who is a returner. So, you know, we've got one center mid that's a return that is new. And then two kind of newish ones on the back line. You know, Colby's kind of new, but he wasn't like a true starter last year. He had to start some fill-in games, but this year it's his job.
He's in a full-time role.
Yeah, he's in a full-time role.
What would you say your team's strengths this year, maybe even compared to last year?
You know, I think this year, you know, just being more comfortable in the system itself is going to play a big role for our guys this year. We're very, very talented up front. You know, we've got six seniors that are going to, you know, lead our offensive mm-hmm. attack, and we're going to come out in high possession. We're going to switch the field, and we're going to try to get people off balance and things like that. And so the big role for us there is we want the ball. You know, we don't want to have to play defense for X number of minutes or anything like that. And, but to be able to come out and control the ball, control the pace and get around the net and take some shots. So
you expect most of your games, you hope to be high scoring, obviously, but still having that strong defensive presence in the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a strong defensive presence is always good. You know, like I said, we've got some new guys. You know, the back line right now, you know, is Andrew Atchley, Colby Joyce, John Garrett Yost is a senior. We moved him from offense to defense. Mm-hmm. To kind of give us some speed on the back line, and he moved to center back. We moved him there in the middle of the summer against Tupelo, just because I was looking for a little bit more speed at that spot, and I was like, hey, I want to try this tonight. And he looked like a natural there, and he kind of just won it that night, and nice. Just kind of took over the rest of the summer and kind of learned the position, you know. And then we've got Boaz and JC are both going to, you know, occupy that left side, and so. A lot of speed and a lot of talented soccer players on that back line. So, you know, we're excited about, you know, that group as a defensive line. But, you know, from what we want to do, we want to have the ball. We want to control the pace offensively.
So, yeah, I was going to ask for somebody that may not understand all the soccer terms exactly. When they see you want to say you want to play high possession ball. And how would you describe that to somebody who just shows up because they love the Chargers and they love watching?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, high possession ball to us is where, you know, we're kicking the ball to each other, essentially. We're connecting 3, 4, 5, 6 passes at a time and moving from one end of the field to the other. We're not going to have a guy that kicks it from our goal to the other goal, you know, and we're going to kick it in the net. That's not our game plan. Our game plan is a couple guys are going to touch it defensively, and then they're going to pass it to the midfield who are going to those guys are going to touch it 2 or 3 times, and then we're going to find a forward somewhere in space and get him running, and he's probably going to pass it back towards the goal itself then as well. And you know our goal is to what we call build up play, to be a nice build up play. You know, we're going to have 6 or 7 passes before we finally get a shot off.
And explain how much preparation goes into allowing your guys, because it's not always the exact same 11 out there. You sub in and out, and now and then, like you said, you have injuries, you have COVID, you have whatnot. What does it take to get those guys playing at a level where it's second nature to know who's moving where and to pass into space, not to a person, but to where they know that person, that teammate is going to be in the next 2 seconds?
Yeah, it's a lot of chemistry for sure. You know, luckily we've got the fourth block schedule, and so, you know, we practice every day. And we do a lot of possession-based, you know, drills and activities and things that kind of lead us to that direction. And then we also group them by position. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, our center mids are usually in a group together, and or they'll be grouped with forwards, or, you know, our defenders will be grouped together kind of with their holding mids or center mids. And we'll kind of group them by position. That way they build a chemistry no matter what drill we're doing. And, you know, and then we're also trying to build depth too. So we've got to mix and match with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So some of the guys that, you know, we think are going to make a big impact, you know, we're going to group them with some guys that we know are going to be starters. That way they can start developing that chemistry as well. And, you know, and then, you know, we scrimmage a lot as well. You know, I think when we hit in August, we were doing at least one scrimmage a week, and we would mix and match for one half. And then the second half we would go, you know, ones versus twos and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so that was able to, you know, kind of define some roles and start building that chemistry.
How big is your JV roster, or is there a defined line between the two, or is it kind of a...
Yeah, so we've got, you know, we've got 30 guys on the roster, and, you know, we've done it anywhere between, you know, 12 kind of varsity guys, but this year it's kind of be split. We've got a couple of guys that are going to do both just because we want to get them minutes.
Right.
But then we've also got, I think in the varsity game last night, we had 16 players see the field. So,
gotcha.
You know, we've started building that depth, you know, on the boys side for sure. You know, it's just a testament to that older group of, you know, one, they're all healthy. So that's been nice. And, you know, they've worked really hard, you know, even those guys that are right there on the cusp of being starters, you know, they know that they're going to get the minutes and, you know, they're working really hard for it. And then my young guys too, you know, staying ready. You know, we've got a couple of those guys that, you know, against Olive Branch, we threw in there early because we had, you know, a pretty good lead. And so they got some minutes there and got to kind of experience some of that as well. But, you know, last night we beat South Haven, you know, 3-2 and took it all the way down to like the seventh or eighth minute before we finally got the game winning goal. Mm. And we still used about 16 guys overall on the field. So, you know, we're pretty excited about the depth that the boys have.
I'm assuming you're not thinking a whole lot about this now in November, but once you get into towards the end of the year and then even into the first of 2022 in that season, how does your mindset work to try to, you know, obviously every game is the goal is to win, but you already start thinking towards the season ahead to give the JV some minutes and experience that way when next August starts and then you're working fourth block and then next October is here. You've got guys who have the experience. I know that's guys and girls both, but how's that balance work to make sure you're doing all you can to win, but you want to also build?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first off, I do my best to try to play a full JV schedule. You know, they can play 12 games of their own. And so to get them those minutes for sure, at least, you know, we like to try to at least get 8 or 9 of those games in. I think last year during COVID, they only got 4, you know, yeah. So that kind of hurt them a little bit. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of a balance, you know, in a game where we can see that we're under control, if we get a couple of game goals early, we're going to pull some starters and get their legs underneath them and use some other guys. But, you know, in close games as well, you know, we try to do kind of like what you said, it's what's best overall for the roster. You know, your varsity guys have worked really hard to, you know, to get to where they're at,
yeah.
You know, and they've earned those minutes. And so, you know, and they're there to win and stuff. And so, you know, in close games, we're obviously going to go with the guys that we're trusted, you know, that we trust to get the job done.
Well, this school year, it seems like the regions all kind of got jumbled up and mixed around and then poured back out. How does the region look this year for your guys' team?
Tough region on the guys' side. So Tupelo, we bring them back to our region. They were first in their division last year. Starkville, we bring them back to our region. They were first in their division last year. And then Grenada was a playoff team in 5A last year as well. So you're talking about, you know, 4 teams in the same division that all made the playoffs last year is either a 1 or a 2. And 2 of those teams can be sitting at the house, you know, at the end of the end of all this. That'll sting a little bit for whoever it is.
That should be motivation for your guys right now to give it all they got.
It is. You know, we beat Starkville. We split with Starkville last year. One in the regular season, we lost to them, and then in the playoffs, we actually beat them in the playoffs. And so, you know, we're familiar with them as well.
That was a tight game.
It was a tight game. You know, we're familiar with Grenada. They are usually on our schedule and stuff. But you know, our big rival is Tupelo, and it's been as as far back as I can remember, we checked it a little bit on it last year, but I don't think the Oxford High School has ever actually beat Tupelo in soccer. It's been at least 15 years mm-hmm. since they've won a game against Tupelo. And so that's a game that my boys have circled this year. It's like, this is the year.
And we have home and home, right?
Yeah, we'll be home and home this year, so we'll get them twice. And that's the game they want real bad is the Tupelo game. So.
And do you have any I guess trips or big games up in your non-district, your non-regional schedule that you're highlighting?
Yeah, next weekend we're going to play Clinton. And, you know, that's usually a big game for the girls. But the boys game, you know, we played them last year 1-0 opening weekend. Clinton's a very talented group. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a really tough game for us. And then we're going to play Jackson Prep December 17th in Tupelo. They're coming up to play us, and you know, for whatever reason, you know, the boys
they've circled it.
They've circled the Jackson Prep game. So those are the two big ones before Christmas break, and then Northwest Rankin January 8th at Rankin will be a big game. You know, you wouldn't see that'll be kind of our playoff primer a little right. bit. You wouldn't see Rankin unless it's in the state championship, but it's one of the big four in Jackson that you worry about every year. And so, you know, we kind of put that in January to get it in there and give us a look right before we play Tupelo again mm-hmm. for the division title, probably.
Well, shifting to the girls, this is a girls team this is your seventh season?
Seventh season.
That's head coach. And so obviously you're very familiar with the roster, all these girls, you've watched them play since, you know, they're even in middle school and probably even younger out at M-Trade Park and whatnot. So you're quite familiar, but there's a bit of you mentioned the boys, if they've been healthy, that's really good. I know you've had a bit of a roster shakeup to a degree. How is that roster doing right now as you're jumping into?
Yeah, so, you know, our first big domino to fall was, you know, Grace Freeman had been offered the opportunity to graduate early mm-hmm. and go to Ole Miss and compete for, you know, a starting job, you know, with them next season and stuff. And me and her talked about it a long time and you know, that's what's best for Grace, right. you know, and we definitely wanted that for her. You know, it stung us a little bit there, right, you know, right. but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what's best for my girl is that she go and do that mm-hmm. and compete there at that highest level. So, you know, we were preparing, you know, to go into the season and, you know, without her and, you know, we still felt pretty good. We had a couple of returning sophomore strikers that we were going to lean really heavily on and they both ended up tearing an ACL within a week of each other.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
But heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
They love the game.
And one of them, you know, is giving it a shot right now, braced up. And so we've kind of got her on limited minutes right now just to see. And the other one's already had surgery and preparing for next year. So that all happened within, you know, a couple of weeks of each other. You know, you lost probably your top three strikers coming back from last season. And so that was tough. So, you know, we had to start getting a little creative with some of that, obviously. So we've moved Parker Martin to forward. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously AC is going to play on her knee, this year as the other forward, as long as we can keep it healthy. But, we've got a freshman going to step in at that forward position and Sonia Sandoval, who we're really excited about that's looking really good right now. And then we're going to use some seniors up there as well that we're probably going to rotate more at outside mid, but just out of necessity, they're probably going to play a little forward. Mia Heisel and Caroline Wages are both going to get a look up there at times when they're not rotating at outside. So, you know, the rest of the roster is really good. You know, we're turning everybody else but the goalkeeper. Caitlin Urbanic and SK Bundren are competing for the starting goalkeeper job. We return our entire back line, and Lexi Trimble, Allie Reed Greer, Maddie Gray is going to take over full-time role there at right back for us. Then Ainsley Tackey's coming back at holding mid after a phenomenal junior year at holding. Ivy Dennis is, you know, senior captain that is just has been as steady as she could be since she was a freshman, and so she's returning at center mid. And then Molly Swingle, Caroline Wages, and Mia Heisel are, you know, going to rotate it outside mid for us. And then TG Hamilton, who played a lot last year as a freshman, is going to take over attacking mid for Parker, since we had to move Parker to forward. So, and you know, that's kind of how we round out that group. Right. But first two games, they came out and played really, really well. They mercy rolled in game one and scored five last night, and we hadn't given up a goal yet. So, I think it's just kind of a getting comfortable there and starting to trust. You know, when you lose forwards, it's not as big of a deal as if you lost midfielders. You know, midfielders, you know, they control the game. The game goes through them. And luckily, TG has stepped in for Parker at attacking mid and kind of taken up the slack by having to move Parker to forward. And so, you know, it doesn't affect our rhythm as much with those injuries that we lost. But really it's getting our forwards comfortable with the runs and the finishing and stuff like that. That's what we're working on right now.
Is that just repetition?
Yeah, it's just repetition. Getting comfortable, different angles and the runs and where everybody's going to be, you know. At TG and Parker both played midfield last year. I mean, AC played a little bit midfield last year. And then we moved her to forward late in the year. And then Parker has only been a midfielder. So her runs are different as a forward than they are a middle. And when she shoots, she's closer to the goal than what she was last year. So, you know, we've seen a couple go high here lately. And that's just getting used to it.
Now, you mentioned with the guys what your kind of your game plan, your strategy was, and how you ran your sets. Is it similar with the girls? Do you try to do a similar offense, or has it got to be shifted a little bit because of just difference in roster?
Yeah, no, we actually run similar style. You know, I feel like a coach has a style, and my style is very high possession based, you know, a lot of quick passes and stuff. And that's always been our style. You know, we can run different formations, but still have the same style. Mm-hmm. And so we fit the formation to the players, but then the style is still very similar. And so our style is going to be, you know, we're going to work the ball around. We're going to try to keep possession of the ball and knock it around and get our forwards into space. The only difference, you know, where we're on the boys' side, we're running a four defenders and four forwards. On the girls' side, we're running three defenders and two forwards and kind of loaded up our midfield based off our personnel. So, you know, it's a different look. It looks different, but, you know, the style itself is the same.
And I'm assuming the region being the same teams, obviously Oxford and Tupelo girls we have had some success against Tupelo, but it's always been a scratching and kicking and fighting and spitting.
Yeah.
It seems like with Tupelo the last few years, you anticipate it still being a tight Tupelo Oxford.
I do. I think, you know, the boys side, we're calling the region of death. On the girl side, you know, you know, Tupelo and Oxford are probably the top two, you know, in that division for sure. But between those two teams, it's definitely going to be, you know, a chess match for sure. You know, I don't think last year was the first time that we've actually lost to Tupelo on the girls' side. We lost to penalty kicks on the road.
Yeah.
That was, you know, non-division play. So it was not, you know, a total, you know, it wasn't like super devastating for us other than we lost the penalty kicks. Yeah. But, you know, with them coming back into the division, you know, and it means a little bit more now because it affects your playoff seating, you know, that game. So,
and Grenada's no slouch.
Yeah, and Grenada's not a slouch. And, you know, we played Starkville last year in the playoffs as well. I think they were the two seed last year. We faced them in round one. And so, you know, we'll have – you know, obviously focus on all of them, but you know, the Tupelo game, that's the one the girls always want. You know, they grew up playing with those girls, you know, and club ball, and, you know, we're so close to Tupelo. And so that rivalry is a little bit more deep seated for the girls, between Oxford and Tupelo than it is with Starkville and Grenada. So
I know last two years, maybe you used the performance trackers for the girls team. And I know you're planning to get those for the guys. Are you still planning to do that again coming up for the girls?
Yeah, absolutely. So the girls, you know, they've wore theirs, you know, all fall already. And, you know, we've been tracking their data and all of that. You know, we saw, I was looking at the data this morning from our game last night. You know, Ivy Dennis ran almost 7 miles in 70 minutes of play and stuff. And, you know, we use those trackers to kind of help, monitor their minutes and their mileage, you know, during the week. We want to be within a certain range, you know, week to week, and try to peak them, you know, at a better time later in the year. That way we're not just completely gassed in January. You know, so Ivy and our girls, you know, luckily it's raining today, but they were going to have a light day today anyway,
yeah.
Because of the mileage they put on last night and, you know, being able to see that. But, you know, we did order them for the boys. They're supposed to be in this week. So we're looking forward to getting them in, getting them set up. And
they're looking forward to them.
They are. The boys are excited about it. Well, when the girls get something, then the boys also are like, well, why don't, you know, we need that too. And I was like, don't worry. You know, we talked to the Booster Club, you know, the Oxford Booster Club has been just absolutely fantastic, you know, to the soccer team over the years, and anything that we've ever needed, they've kind of taken care of for us. And the sensors being two really big things, and that just makes us better overall. I was talking to some college coaches yesterday, and they were like, I didn't even know you all wore those. And I was like, well, I was like, we do. And I'm like, we're the only high school team in the state of Mississippi that wears them. And, you know, the Division I colleges wear them, but we're also, but they're the only colleges that wear them.
Right.
Like, so it's Ole Miss State and Southern and Oxford. You know, so we, within the state lines, as far as I'm aware of. And so that's kind of cool. You know, that's, they like to look at the data. You know, the girls were swinging by this morning and it was like, hey, what was my mileage? What was my top speed last night? And what was my load score? Even though they don't understand load score and stuff.
Do you ever see them getting competitive? Because I can especially see the guys trying to see who had the fastest.
Yeah. So
sprint.
That was the first thing. So, you know, on Saturday, Lexi Trimble is our center back, got the high speed, the sprint score.
Yeah.
And then Molly Swingle, who's our right mid, was like, well, that's not going to happen again on Tuesday. Like, I'm definitely going to, you know, touch the top speed. And that was the first question she had for me this morning when I walked in. And I was like, Molly, I didn't even like plugged them in yet. I didn't even seen, but Molly did get the high speed score today. So, but it is super competitive. And when we look at the data and they can see it and understand it and understand why we're doing it, then they get more into it and they're more invested in it. And, you know, we're looking forward to the boys having like that same opportunity. And I anticipate them being, if not the same, but more competitive when it comes you know, the different things.
But even more important than who had the top speed or the most mileage or whatever, it's about being able to manage their load and have them physically rested and able to peak at the right point of the season. So when you get into the playoffs, you're at your optimal performance.
Right. That's the goal, you know, is to manage the load and the mileage. That way, when we get to January, we're still at our physical best. You know, when I was the cross country coach with Coach Patton, you know, we talked about periodization a lot and peaking at the right time. And, you know, that was a big intriguing point for me. And then, you know, I spent some time with the Ole Miss, you know, soccer team one summer and they would get printouts in the middle of the game. Like, hey, this is our load scores right now. This is our mileage right now. And, you know, we talked about a lot of that and, just kind of like what the point of it was. And that was the point, is that way we can peak at the right time and be playing our best, most fit soccer in the most important time of the season, which is playoffs.
So counting the off season, you're now what, roughly 16, 18 months into being the coach of both programs, guys and girls, both.
Right.
Obviously they're in the same umbrella, but what do you think you've learned most about coaching and then even maybe yourself, as you've managed two teams, as well as being a husband, a dad, and everything else that you would do?
Yeah, I mean, I can't do everything by myself. You know, I've got great assistants. You know, Macon Humphrey's been with me for 6 years on the girls' side. You know, Charlie Winnick, this is his second year with me. And then, you know, that was kind of the part of the discussion in this off season was if I was going to do both again, then, you know, to get another assistant. And so, you know, I was able to hire Anna Dennis, who is a, you know, former Oxford Charger.
Yeah.
You know, she's back in town. You know, she played club ball at Auburn and stuff. And so to be able to bring her in and help with that, but then, you know, be like, hey, I need y'all to handle this and let me focus on this team today and vice versa. And so my assistant's been great as far as that, to help kind of take off some of the burden of everything that has to be done, you know, managing two teams. But that's kind of the biggest thing that I've learned is that I can't do everything. You know, I gotta trust my guys that, you know, if I give them something that needs to be done, that they're going to get it done. And they do a great job. You know, and that helps me focus on my family and stuff like that. So, you know, when I leave here, I don't have other stuff to do.
Right.
When I get home, I get to be dad, husband, and those things. And so that makes it an enjoyable experience.
What does it add to the girls program to have a woman's perspective who actually played for you and played out here on this field? But for your female athletes to be able to hear from another female coach as well.
Yeah, no, that's been something that we've, you know, I've always had a female assistant on the middle school side, and we have them join us in December. But by the time we get, when the middle school season's over, but by the time that the middle school season's over, you know, we're in the playoffs, and yeah. And so they don't do as much coaching. They're just there kind of observing is what my middle school coaches do in January. But to have Anna all summer and stuff, and you know, because the girls sometimes wonder, like, why are we doing it this mm-hmm. way? And you know, Anna Dennis was on back-to-back state championship teams,
right.
You know, and won 40 games you know, with me our first 2 years, and she's a testament to, you know, the everything that we do,
right?
And so when there's been times where we're like, well, why are we running a fitness test? And Anna Dennis will walk over and be like, well, my 2 years that we won a fitness test, that we had a fitness test, we won state championships. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's an expectation that we set as a team, and then we go out and we do it together. You know, why is the weight room important? And Anna Dennis is able to walk over and be like, I wish that we lifted more weights when I was in there, because that would have kept us healthier. You yeah. know, that's kind of the goal. And, you know, I can say it, but to hear her say it, you know, it rings a little bit more true for them,
right.
You know, because she is a former player, and she's a, you know, female athlete and a female coach. And so that's been a breath of fresh air for us.
Nice.
For sure. So it's been she's been a huge asset to the team so far.
So outside of soccer, when you are able to be, you know, dad, you're able to be husband, you're able to just be, hey, I'm Hunter and I'm having responsibilities today. What do you do to relax and have fun?
Yeah. I mean, I spend most of the time with my kids. It's, this fall, it's been when I leave the soccer field at Oxford High School, we go to the soccer field at Entry Park. And so my little guys, Peter and Dell, have both played soccer this fall. I was the coach of both of those teams. So, you know, five-year-old soccer and six-year-old soccer is a lot different than, yeah. You know, high school soccer. But, you know, it was fun, you know, just to be able to get out and just kind of enjoy watching them, you know, run and play and stuff. But, you know, so we do that a lot. We spend a lot of time at the house and just kind of hang out, you know, and just play. That's yeah. what we do. And then, you know, Rebecca and I, you know, been able to slip away and have some time, you know, to do date nights and things like that.
You know, very important.
We started that back in COVID, you know, at least one night a week, we were going to, you know, spend some time just us together, put the boys down early and, you know, just watch a movie and get some dinner and, mm-hmm. And talk and spend some time together. And, you know, we've been able to keep that up, all the way through. And, you know, that's important for us. But that's kind of our big one. At least one night a week, we, you know, relax and kind of hang out with each other and spend some time together. So that's been good.
We just had Halloween. You mentioned movies. Do you like scary movies? I was going to ask you what your scariest movie that you've ever seen is.
Yeah, no. Well, Rebecca grew up with scary movies, and I grew up in the, we grew up in the same era, but she enjoyed scary movies where I did not.
Okay.
I've never been a big scary movie guy. And then when I was in high school, that was when everything was going through the gore phase.
Yeah, that's different.
And yeah, it's just different. And I just never really enjoyed it. I'm really more of a, you know, a comedy and action kind of guy. The scariest movie I've ever seen, definitely, Nightmare on Elm Street. That was always kind of stuck with me. That was probably my big one. I've never even seen It or
gotcha.
Any of those guys. Like I just
don't watch what them. Are your top movies? If you had to say, here's my, you know, I pull this off the DVD off the shelf. If people still watch DVDs, I guess.
Yeah.
Most everybody streams now, but what are your go-to movies if you know them, want to laugh and have a good time?
Yeah. So, I'm a big Fast and Furious guy. That's kind of like a guilty pleasure of mine.
And as a science teacher, you know that most of those things are not.
Right. Yeah.
It's
not physically possible. You know, the, even, it was funny because the first one was, You know, that's kind of the cult following. That's kind of where it all started. And then they've just got more and more dramatic. You know, they bring people back to life and, you know, all of those things.
Go to space.
Yeah, go to space and, you know, an old car and crazy things. But, you know, those are the Fast and Furious and then any Marvel superhero movie. Yeah. Like I've always been – I wrote several papers in college on superheroes.
It was
I've always been a big superhero guy and kind of what you – kind of take away and learn from.
So are you ready for Eternals to come out this week?
Yeah, I'm ready for Eternals. You know, Marvel and DC, it doesn't matter. Like I'm all superhero. I love it. But yeah, definitely looking forward to that. And then, you know, sports movies, you know, those are kind of my go-to. You know, Tin Cup is probably my all-time favorite movie. Bull Durham, you know, I actually love baseball like more than most people even realize. And so, you know, those I always go like Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, Major League,
yeah,
things like that. Caddyshack, you know, I go to those guys. But I watched Miracle the other night, you know, just because, you know, it's about to be soccer season and just kind of like that little pump up right before soccer starts. So, but yeah, no, I'm a big movie guy, just not scary movies. You know, I'll watch just a little bit of everything.
I like scary movies. I haven't watched hardly any recently just because my wife hates them.
Yeah.
Like she always wants to. The guy and the girl that don't get along and you know they're going to fall in love by about halfway through, but they don't want to fall in love. And then it's everybody's happy at the end and she wants. And so if somebody's getting killed, they're just like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, Rebecca will watch those kind of like on her own a little bit, especially like on soccer nights if, you know, she's laid the kids down or on a away game or whatever, she'll watch those. And then, you know, she's great about watching like stuff that that I like, you know, because she likes superhero movies and stuff like that too. But she does have that same kind of, well, it's like, well, I kind of need some of the love story kind of thing to it.
Well, appreciate your time, Coach.
Absolutely.
Good luck this season. Looking forward to a great season ahead for Chargers, both guys and girls.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed the show, I again encourage you to subscribe wherever it is that you love to listen to podcasts. And follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Charger Podcast. I've got a few other interviews already set up. Coach Cade Hogger, the new baseball coach, is up next. But if you have any suggestions of who you'd like to hear on the next episode, just shoot me a DM or email me at blake@chargerpodcast.com. All right, have a great rest of your week. Goodbye.